It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Anybody here see my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? Oh, he freed a lot of people, but the good, they die young.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here in Hawaii, and we got some clouds over here on the mountains and sunshine driving in from the other side of the island, and just absolutely beautiful, make you want to feel good. And come in and listen to the Neutron Bomb, or the Neutron song, you know, dance, the Pointer Sisters. So thanks again for joining me. If you have any questions or comments or any remarks or anything, any ideas, give me a call, 528-4181. Last week, I got about seven actually emails saying they couldn't get through. So if you're inclined to call again, do so. Feel free to call. And all I can tell you is just hold on. We've changed lines. There was a technical problem here, but 528-4181. And quite a bit to talk about: food security, biosecurity. We see that Miss Colleen Hanabusa has thrown her hat in the race. Not that I've ever seen her wear a hat, but you know, borrowing from the good old boys' days, you throw your hat in the ring. And then Mr. Ige, in a nervous way, says, "Well, I ain't worried about her. I can beat her hands down. She ain't done nothing, and I haven't done anything. So, hey, we start off with a level playing field, you know." So, anyway, the hot potato of the politics here, you know, it's that musical chairs. Isn't that funny? Real serious business now. Our taxes go up. In fact, the cost of living here is greater than anywhere, pretty much. And our political figures, I don't feel good this morning. I think what's my status today? Oh, you're a congresswoman. Oh, really? Yeah. I don't like this right now. There's some trickery going on over there. I'll just go over and become the governor, you know. But you think so? Yeah, so because he's not doing anything. So it's like, wow, you have to wait until it's election time to tell us he's not doing anything. We waited 3 years. Isn't that funny about politics in this town? You witness train crashes and car wrecks and all kinds of things, and things going to, you know what, in the handbasket, and you don't say anything, but boy, when that political season comes up, you want to talk, and you want to challenge. What does that say about our spirit? What does it say about our sincerity? Are we serving people? I don't know, but seem to be self-serving. I got a little tidbit, and if I'm off maracas here, and if this is a far stretch, but, you know, I'm entitled to some kind of theory, conspiracy of sort. So, you know, Mr. Donald Trump, President Trump, actually has Twitter. And if you recall, just recently he was there in Saudi Arabia. And you remember he had they had the Twitter, remember that? And it was pretty interesting. So you look at that and you think, wow. In Saudi Arabia, they had a big forum and grandstanding the Twitter. And, you know, of course, Mr. Trump, by now, if you don't know, you know that he uses Twitter. And he's been accused of politicizing or financializing or whatever you call it, capitalizing on every little thing with his name and the president's name and the office of the president to benefit his family and his friends and what have you. Well, maybe we missed something, or maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I was noticing that when he was in Saudi Arabia, there was a big gathering, a big flamboyant presentation of Twitter, and they had the conferences and all of Twitter. And I was curious, as reading various news stories, why is that? Is there any chance that it had some financial gain, or was it to benefit someone other than just merely getting people to communicate on Twitter? And so I just thought, well, let me just look around. And according to, and there are many sources there, there's a magazine called Recode, online called Recode, and they identify that, for example, last week, well-known Twitter investor Steve Ballmer, and the former Microsoft CEO who owns the Los Angeles Clippers, and Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal joined the list, a combination of that word. Really interested in, and they, this Saudi prince is one of the bigger investors in Twitter. Now, is that anything wrong with that? I don't know, but it just seems that why did we lend ourselves to that? I know that he uses Twitter, and he also uses certain types of salt and pepper and whatever. Why don't we just put the presidential logo on everything? But anyway, just yet another way of lending and blending the office of the president into commercial benefit to someone or somehow, which it should not be. It should be neutral. And if you're going to do that for Twitter, then do it for Facebook and do it for all the others, Mr. President, or those out of you that think it's okay. But so much for that, and it may not mean anything, and just as an observation on my part, which could be meaning nothing. So here's what I got today. Now, this is kind of a scary subject because it involves so many things, our health, the health, wealth, and benefit to the people of the state of Hawaii and the nation. And you hear the governor talk about sustainable foods and production of foods here in the state of Hawaii, and, buy local, you hear that, and all of these mantras or these little, I don't know what you call them. They seem to say the same thing, which is nothing, because if you really delve into the background or the success, or if it lent itself to giving you information on the success, then you too would agree that it's just all hot air and nonsense. And the state auditor recently, in July of 17, some of you are aware of this already, audited the Department of Agricultural Plant Quarantine Branch, and basically looking at its efficiency, or if it was efficient, or its operation, gauging its operation to whether it's successful or failure, or it's all hot air, or is it on target, or what have you. And so I have to tell you, and I've said this before, David Ige and his office and the people that he hired, an absolutely insensitive, they're borderline thugs, if they don't. For example, I filed a request in 2015 where I found that a number of truckers and the contractor was basically set up by the Department of Education to take the blame that there were contaminants in the soil and that the soils were transported with the contamination in them to Kapolei and other places, when in fact the DOE and the State Health Department and the Navy knew exactly what was contained in the soils and what hazards were presented there at Radford High School. So I actually did an investigation, put it all together, and sent in that letter asking the governor, suggesting that he rescind the violations that were issued to the truckers and the contracting company, because the documents that were gotten from the State Health Department, Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, and the HERE office showed a different story than what they were being charged for. They should have never been charged, but the records spoke for themselves. I wrote this letter. I never got an answer. I telephoned them to say, well, are you going to respond to my request, or are you going to? And we will. We're just busy right now. As usual, this is what they tell you. And I could only conclude that they're busy hiding things from the people and busy lying to the people. So a couple of occasions I call and ask. And there's Jody Leong and others, your former public. You would think they wouldn't lend themselves to this practice, because they are of that fourth arm of government. They were once the media, but I guess they get a job with the state that's good salary, good health benefits, you get privilege, you get, you know, and then in turn, you think that your mode that you're supposed to operate in is to abandon the rights of the people and become interested and concerned and serve the rights of the governor or whoever gave you the job. That's something you'll have to deal with, all of you. But the bottom line is there's an attorney that was interested in my letter, and he made a request of my letter from the governor's office, and the governor's office wrote back saying that on the UIPA, saying that Mr. Cox's letter was never received in this office. Now, my email shows that it was from Carol Cox to gov@hawaii.gov, or to the right address. No rejection, no nothing. That I called up subsequent to that submittal after not getting anything, and I was told they're working on it. So, once again, when I say that they're liars and cheats, this is what drives me to that point. I get there because if you're not serving the people, who then are you serving? If the people bother to write to you and pull your coattail and say, this is unfair and unjust, in our opinion, you don't just take that and throw it in the trash can. There is a dialogue that should exist. A dialogue, either mind your own business or something. Thank you for your letter, but this is above your head and mine. This is, we'll look into it or we won't look into it or go away or something. But you just can't ignore, and you shouldn't, because you're running the office of governor to serve the people, not serve your friends and your friends who have contracts with the government and all of that. And you're possibly getting a job down the line when you get voted out of office, or you are lucky enough that the people don't wake up before you that second time voting around, they accidentally vote you in again. But again, I don't, no hard feelings, but it's just when your government lied to you, and it's such a petty lie, and you know that it is, and it's impacting people. These truckers were unjustly and unfairly treated, period. And I believe with my knowledge and experience and observations on many other cases, this one meets the evidence that there is one. It was to hang these drivers out to dry and just leave them hanging and cost them monies, and so that they could conceal the fraudulent practices of the Department of Education and the Department of Health and the Department of Navy. It happens, folks. People will go out of their way in this government to screw you over so that they can remain involved in the clique, or remain in getting their monies or getting their salaries or getting their friends who have contracts and they don't want to disturb. So a favor is a favor owed to people. So that's that part of the David Egate that causes me concern. And please, for whatever you hear in this conversation, or if we were to deem it a conversation, please, this is nowhere near saying that Colleen Hanabusa, that she should be voted in. I'm sorry. I mean, and you know, as like everybody else say, she's a nice person. But look at the track record. Would you tolerate your child coming home and spending your tax dollars or your hard-earned money that you've saved, and you send him off to college, and he come back 3 months later and go, well, what are you going to do now, son? Well, I think I'm tired of college for right now. I just want to go to the beach and hang out on your dollar. Really? And then 3 months later, oh, where are you headed? Oh, I'm going back to college, but I'm going to go up to Spokane this time. But weren't you going to UCLA? I know, but I got tired of that. You know, it just don't fit in my And 6 months later, what are you going to do now? Well, I'm thinking about going off to London because there's a new study that's over there and I'm going to go for that. You wouldn't put up with that. So why do we put up with it in our government? If a party gets in on the promises that they're going to fix something and they're going to attend to things and do things properly, you would think they would adhere to that. And regardless of the jet set crowd that's passing them by, they made a commitment. They cost us thousands, if not a couple millions of dollars in the voting process and preparing for this. And then to win and then to get in and then to just abandon that because you have bridal lights, big cities, and you want to go off and do that? What does that say about us as voters? And what does that say about Colleen Hanabusa as a candidate? If you're not willing to wait out your turn, and this may go back to she may feel entitled. Remember, there's a letter that talked about, suggested that, or something, I don't know the truth or veracity of it, but of that letter that Senator Daniel Inouye wanted her to be appointed as Neil Abercrombie would, you know, and he didn't, so you tell me, in the Senate position. So there, this whole process, at the end of the day, what does it mean? It means that we are not getting served in the best way and to our benefit and to strike a balance. We're not getting that. What we're getting is a repetition of hiring friends and people that are unskilled, people that have no clue, but what they have motivation. And that motivation is to serve private entities that will grease the skids for them, give them a job, give their families jobs, and give them hand kickbacks and what have you and benefits, or go in and speak to the mayor, the governor, or whomever to give you a job to head one of the departments that that party is interested in getting permits and performing certain work and getting contracts. So you would put in someone like, I don't want to do a drum roll here, but Scott Enright. Now, Scott Enright is the chairperson of the Department of Agriculture. We'll just, and there's, he's the chair of the Agriculture Development Corporation, which is nothing more than a way of bleeding the public of money and giving it to special interests and leaving little farmers out there hanging, struggling, hoping and praying that they could get a piece of land, just a couple acres. But that's a whole different subject, but it's led by Scott Enright. Now, some of you may be aware of the House Bill 1339. It's been floating about for 3 years, basically. And basically, it is the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority. You know, if you have a problem trying to figure out what is an invasive species, just look in the mirror or look at my picture. You and me, majority of us here, are invasive species. We're not native here. We're not endemic here. So just in a, being half funny, just to say that. But the Hawaii species, and all this will come together, I'm speaking loosely, but it's to express one point, and that is we're screwed. At the end of the day, we're screwed. We're tossing money hand over fist to alien species programs to wipe out and kill. And then, but you got to have something to really get it out there and get people scared. You know, you got to get that October sensation, that Halloween moment, where the ghosts and the ghouls and all of that and the zombies come out to get you if you don't do these things right. So University of Hawaii, and this is a biosecurity, and you listen to this audit, and you can find this audit at the state auditor's office, or you can go on their website, or you can go to carolcox.com and look at it there, the auditors. So the HB 1339, again, introduced this year, and mind you, what it says is that the Hawaii Invasive Species Council abolished, and then appropriations, they don't give any money to it yet, but Scott Enright has been just trying. This is his baby, you know. In other words, I'll tell you up front, what it is Scott Enright is so endeared to the agriculture businesses, nothing to do with the overall benefit to Hawaii, but to special interests. And so Scott Enright, the good guy that he is, and as, you know, as willing as he is to give what we own to his private friends, is he's just a good guy in that way. And so no appropriations for monies, but restructures the Hawaii Invasive Species Council as the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority to coordinate an implementation of the Hawaii Interagency Biosecurity Plan and related duties, appropriates funds effective 7/1/2050 in the state draft, the Senate draft 2, D2. Now, here's some of the people that voted for this, and I'm not holding against them, but I would say to them, guys, it's one thing when you exert power and you sit there and you try to look smart, but this is a dumb move. And that is, in the WAM, Ways and Means, current, it was at that time, Cregan, Evans, Gates, Ichiyama, Lopresti, Say, Thielen, and Woodson. They all voted for this because, hey, we want to keep those alien species out of here, and we need yet one more stumbling block and one more effort that's going to bleed money off the taxpayers and divert it so that we can help our friends. But never mind that. We hear that it's going to keep alien species out of Hawaii. Now, you can't beat that. You cannot say no to, I mean, come on. I mean, when you're dumping thousands of pounds of rat poison on the islands to kill off the rats and that you sit on your ass and didn't do anything for years. And so now all of a sudden, so you need something to scare the living hell out of people that the world's going to come to an end if we don't do this. So the world's going to come to an end if we don't take care of the Hawaii Interagency Biosecurity Plan by creating the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority. But we already have a council composed of certain entities, University of Hawaii and others and blah, blah, blah. But no. But also, in this scheme, this biosecurity plan, you have the Department of Agriculture, who has a cadre of inspectors already in place. And so if you're Scott Enright, what you do is you muster up an effort to divert and shave off all the resources. It's under your purview. It's under your watch. You're the head dog. David Ige appointed you to the Agriculture Department, so you have say. So what Scott Enright has done is basically caused an anemic environment at the plant quarantine branch. He sat there on his ass and watched it unfold and develop, and by manipulation, he divested much of that by following up on the 2009 personnel cut, reducing forces. And he, in this audit, talks about and spells out that there is deficits and there's a number of other conflicts. So why would we tolerate, and why would David Ige have such a man heading such an important agency when he is doing nothing but behaving in a way that anything that he can shave off and divert it to, and we've talked about this, about the shipping coming in and reducing and allowing the cargo carriers and what have you to go by and pick them up and whatever. And this is all related to this. So this is why, one of the reasons, and you read anything that David Ige says in his speech of the State of the State, he talks about sustainability, he talks about biodiversity, he talks about biosecurity and all of that. But yet, he has relinquished all things to Scott Enright, who is completely inept, about as arrogant as you could find anybody, and he too ignores the rules of the road on the UIPA public records request. You see? And I can give you specific examples maybe later on, but again, what does this mean in total? This means that we have this big idea that we're secure in our food sources and we're secure in, and the real reality is, I've said it a number of times, that we're not, because of this guy, Scott Enright, being in that position, and of the liberty that anybody in that position as the agricultural head chairperson can do whatever the heck they want to do, serving special interests. You go back and you look at the Agriculture Development Corp. You don't have any just general citizens on there, but you have all people that are, have a special interest that's going to profit from the ADC. That we see that there are people monopolizing portions of the land that came in. That this again is all under Scott Enright, and this is supposedly consistent with the biodiversity biosecurity plan. So that bill did not pass, and so he will probably, he being Scott Enright, will probably be at it again. So the, in this HB 1339, 2018-2019, for interagency projects and research related to invasive species as described in Section 3A-14, Hawaii Revised Statute Section 2 of the Act as directed, the sums appropriated shall be expended by the Department of Agriculture for the purpose of this Act, provided that portion. See, didn't given, weren't required to show that. Hey, why should we be giving you anything when you already have at your disposal? Let's go back and let's wait until the audit comes out and see what it is that you're hollering wolf, but is there really a wolf? Is it just mismanagement on your part? Is it manipulation on your part? Is it you intentionally not hiring people? You intentionally not filling these positions? You intentionally hiring and then assigning regular workers to managerial positions so that it pulls them out of the inspection lane, so you can then say we're not, our inspections have been reduced due to blah, 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 when the reality is he's manipulating behind the scenes, reducing all of this to look as though there is a deficit that is by natural process, when in fact he's manipulating it to get this outcome. But boy, did the audit catch him. And we'll talk in length about the audit, but it caught him. But the question is, what will David Ige do? Will David Ige keep him on? Because the biosecurity plan needs, we don't need another Hawaii Invasive Species Authority. And then we don't need to take money from that. So he wants to privatize the state plant quarantine, so that he could give that money to his friends and special interests, and then relieve his friends and special interests a regulatory process, the oversight that government has. Give it to a friend, and then they can do whatever they want to do with it through the biosecurity plan and the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority. Very sneaky. I don't think that there's a single pest that could come in here, be brought in here illegally or sneak in here inadvertently, will be able to do the damages that a pest like Scott Enright can do, and as he has done. Really, most of the situations is species specific. You know, we got the ohia, which is unfortunate. We have a koki, which is unfortunate. We have a nose. We have many other species, and gnats, and, you know, and flies and things of that nature. But they generally have a certain, but Scott Enright's going to disrupt the entire process, both political, physical, ecologically, you name it. Tolerating his presence any longer is cause to say, well, I won't vote for Colleen Hanabusa, but I'm sure going to hell going to get on the phone and call Cravalho or Mayor Kim and say, are you running? Because I got a vote here just hanging in my pocket, just hot as heck. I want to vote for somebody that gives a damn about all of us, not about some of us. Are you guys running? Is Cravalho running? Or is whoever it is, Harry Kim, somebody with a little credibility that a little is better than none, what we see. Someone that would come in and say to Scott Enright, you get your bag, pack it, and get out of here. He's left over from Abercrombie's, by the way, carrying out Abercrombie's plans and wishes and handed everything off to the private sectors and private business and special interests. The Hawaii, under the 1339, Hawaii Invasive Species Authority, and the features of Hawaii Invasive Species Council as the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority to coordinate implementation of the Hawaii Interagency Biosecurity. Now, why do we got to struggle to get this thing passed when we already have these things at our doorstep knocking? Why? Why not use what is at our disposal now and manage it efficiently and try to be effective with what we have instead of turning your back on it and closing the door and walking away and diverting the money and misusing the money and spending the money and lying to the public? So that's the biodiversity. 528-4181 is the number if you'd like to call. 521-8-4181. This is the Carol Cox Show, and we're talking about biodiversity, biosecurity, and your foods that you eat. So we look at this this audit. Came out in July of this year. A report to the governor. See, this is what's really cool. See, the governor can't say he didn't get this one. I didn't get that one. I didn't get no email from Mr. Cox. His email just lie. It just shows that it came here. But it doesn't, you know. And in fact, who is Mr. Cox? He's just a citizen. We don't talk to citizens. Why would they be sending us emails? You know how it works. We have this perfect kingdom out here. There's not one unhappy citizen in my kingdom. So why would we have an email from him asking to free and treat others justly that have been falsely and wrongfully accused? I don't know. But this is a what problems did the auditor summary, audit of Hawaii Department of Agriculture's plant quarantine branch now, not the full agriculture, but again, it's important because we're talking biosecurity, and you've heard that term. They toss it around like, hey, baby, we're in charge, the biosecurity. We got a plan. We're in charge. And the reality is this audit says you're not in charge. So, what problems did the audit work identify? The audit of Hawaii Department of Agriculture's plant quarantine branch, we found that the branch lacks the data gathering and data analysis tools necessary to define, respond to threats posed by invasive species. other biosecurity agencies, both domestic and foreign, use data-driven risk analysis to continually guide operations. But the plant quarantine branch is unable to collect consistent, meaningful pest interception data or disseminate up-to-date information to its inspectors. As a result, we found that PQB inspection activities vary from inspector to inspector based on the individual's experience. The little guidance inspectors do receive from the department is outdated or infrequently updated. Other information is communicated in the words of one PQB inspector as, quote, caveman style, end quote, handed down verbally from inspector to another, from one inspector to another. Isn't that funny? Now, Scott Enright's out there lulling the, sucking the legislators into, hey, give me more. Give me more. I could fix it. I could enhance it. And yet the basic tools that he has, and we've spent $4.2 million on this project that they just described, and it's worthless. The project, the system is good, but the adopting it and marrying it and wearing it into and incorporating it into the daily works and the functions of the plant quarantine branch is non-existent. So why would David Ige talk about biosecurity and make you feel comfortable when he know this guy is running around selling wolf tickets, falsifying records to show that everything's fine in paradise? Everything's fine in the agriculture department. We're doing a great job. Biosecurity, no problem. We'll have food forever because we're on top of this. But I just need one more element. If you would just please, pretty please, or I have to twist your arm, and allow us to form and pass the appropriation for the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority, and that would then give me a perfect way to lie to you. That way you'll never know what's going on because it'll be private. It'll be involving private entities and state entities and university, and they will all be saying, well, we don't know. We're doing it for these people. We can't release this. We all have to have consensus to release it all and give you the specifics. And some of these things that we're working with some of the private companies, and they don't really want it. They will continue to help us, but they don't want it to be known who they are. This is the kind of junk you get. So David Ige won't be missed whoever wins. Trust me, from my standpoint. He's a do-nothing, blowhard, nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And then he won't respond in a positive way. It's always, well, you know, we're looking into it. In the meantime, biosecurity, when he stand there and talk about the promises of food security and what have you in his state of states and his speeches around the island, no problem. How about that? But the reality is the auditor says just one step now. I did a little boo-boo here, spilled some water on my my papers here, but we'll make it through. Why did these problems occur? They ask. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead. You there, caller? Okay, if you call in, you're going to have to be a little patient. I don't jump to it that quick, so try again if you like to. Why did these problems occur? After more than a decade of development and close to $4.2 million in new and amended contracts, the Hawaii Department of Agriculture has failed in its attempt to implement central integrated database system that can perform its necessary core function. Ouch. The branch's current database, Invicta, does not include important taxonomic data, communicate with other PQB databases, or support e-manifesting, a screening process that allows low-risk cargo to be pre-cleared because of the Invicta limited capabilities. Pest interception data and other information collected by inspectors are not shared throughout the branch, or integrated with other data sources to provide the branch with necessary tools to reassess the risk of entry of invasive species. But your food source is secure, folks. Don't worry, we got your back. We got all the bugs out of the system. Yeah, but you got a computer that says that you ain't putting any bugs in it to get anything out of it, but you're saying that you're relying on that system, that computerized system that you're not using to guide and steer and influence your policies and your assault on the invasive species. One thing I'm glad I never wanted to be is a politician, because it must be a hard thing to start off honest and they end up struggling. Every word that you say has to be fashioned in a way that the people can't tell if it's truth or half-truth or a lie. But you can tell which one is which when you see who has the ear of the person, of the politician. If the private entities have the control over the ear and see things being moved along in their best interest, then you can pretty much conclude that this government or any government operating in that fashion is a sellout and never meant to represent the people. Why do these problems matter? In today's globally interconnected world, the state of Hawaii must be vigilant, responsive, and flexible in guarding against threat of invasive species. Given the tremendous volume of cargo arriving in throughout Hawaii's ports, PQB inspectors cannot examine every box of produce, every plant, or even every shipping container. Instead, the branch must develop processes and incorporate technology to deploy its inspectors and direct its biosecurity efforts efficiently and effectively. That's not asking too much, especially if they show up on TV and in talks promising you they're on top. We're on top of this. We got everything contained. However, without a reliable source of data on which it can base the decision-making, HDO, Hawaii Department of Agriculture, cannot and does not monitor, evaluate, adjust, or improve its inspection activities. As a result, PQB inspectors operate in a bubble, inspecting today as they did yesterday. PQB, meanwhile, new and emerging invasive species risk may be going unaddressed. But we're secure. Right here, right now, baby. What's bugging you? I don't know, but I think I'll call the plant quarantine branch because they're on top of this, man. If you got something bugging you, don't call the governor. Call plant quarantine branch because they don't know what the hell they're doing. And then if you probably can come out better by just going and buy a can of Raid. I don't like to advocate for poisons, but you're better off doing that than to sit there and think that, oh, the ohia is protected. The last of the few native birds are protected because we have Bioman, Scott Enright. Bioman takes care of everything, his friends, himself. Oh, but he didn't take care of the environment. No, because the environment doesn't put money in your pocket. You see, cows, chickens, vegetables put money in people's pockets when the agriculture concerns. You follow that. When it comes to biosecurity, all pests are not equal, because their potential impacts are not equal. Some insects are harder to eradicate or trap than others. While others may have longer-term effects, couple this with the fact that agriculture inspectors can only inspect a fraction of incoming cargo. Agencies responsible for biosecurity must carefully pick and choose what they inspect and how they inspect it. So according to the Agriculture Quarantine Inspection Monitoring Handbook, inspection tables were filled with QIM, Quarantine Inspection Monitoring, pests found justifying a good job performance. The seriousness of the threat posed by the pests was not considered. Just, you get rewarded for pests found. That's pretty good, guys. But we'll be back shortly here. This is the Carol Cox Show. If you have a question or comment, 528-4181. You can go to carolcox.com or pick us up at Olelo, Channel 54, today at 1 o'clock, Thursdays at 7. And we'll be back shortly.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KW.
Thank you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Aloha, I'm Jay Fidel, CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy, diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Of course, you can catch me at thinktechhawaii.com also on live on Tuesdays at 12 o'clock. Tuesday at 12 o'clock, live, ThinkTech. The show is called Eyes on Hawaii. Anyway, feel free to call in. The number again, 528-4181. Someone called, and I guess we didn't pick up fast enough, but we'll leave it, the phone open for you if you have something of interest you want to talk about. And in the coming weeks, we'll be talking about Pupukea and some of the development out there and some of the things, and so we'll be talking that up and bringing some exposure to that. And as far as the contracts, the city's default contracts and what have you, we're still working on that, and we'll keep you abreast of it, keep you informed. And the bike sharing, regarding that, we file an ethics complaint. And again, I'm very careful when I use the term ethics here. I have to pinch myself and say, what did you just say? In Honolulu, Hawaii, you went to an ethics department, an agency? Why you have to do this? So it's kind of a disheartening feeling. It leaves you empty, because that is a good question. Why the hell am I having to file an ethics complaint when there's an agency that's supposed to have people fearful that if you steal from the people, you're going to experience the wrath of God or whatever it is, a tree going to fall on you or whatever, you know. But we got to do what we got to do, and hopefully by filing it with the Ethics Commission, there'll be some decent reception of it, and they will do a decent probe, or who knows, you know. And we've also filed a complaint, formal complaint, with the state procurement office, asking them to look to see if this bike share program is consistent with procurement laws, because we suspect that there are many things that went wrong there with your tax dollars, your resources, your streets, your parking meters, your all of that, and the liabilities and what have you. We don't think they've been adequately addressed, or were adequately addressed. So anyway, so much for that. But main topic today was the biosecurity audit of the Hawaii Department of Agriculture plant quarantine, led by Mr. Scott Enright. You know him. Even when he's wrong, he's Enright, you know. So that's the way it is. David Ige had picked him and appointed him. Well, kept him or retained him from Mr. Abercrombie. The Hawaii Department of Agriculture, and I'm reading excerpts from this audit, and you can pick it up at carolcox.com, go there, or go to the state auditor's audit and look up biosecurity audit. I'll give you the specific numbers later on. But the Hawaii Department of Agriculture has been unable to implement key elements of its biosecurity program after more than a decade of development. But yet they leave you assured that everything's fine, you know. What about the honeybees? Oh, they're fine. They're still buzzing along. What's the buzz? Well, the honeybees, you know, we saw a decline in their numbers and whatever. Oh, everything's fine. We got everything. I heard that the varroa mite might be, and the small beetle, hive beetle, might have some impact in causing the reduction in their population. Oh, everything's fine. We have this biosecurity plan, you see. And you know biosecurity, man. You know how that works. So, yeah, we have everything under control. Well, beekeepers are complaining. Their numbers are dwindling. Gardeners are concerned. They're not seeing the number. We have biosecurity plan in place. So this audit goes, perhaps more than any other state, Hawaii natural environment is the most valuable asset. Island beaches, forests, mountains, national parks are the main attraction for the visitors that fuel the economy, and the state's agricultural lands are vital to the burgeoning diversified agriculture industry. At the same time, this environment is fragile. It is home to about one-third of all federally listed endangered species in the United States, and especially vulnerable to invasive plant and animal species that could threaten our remote homes' unique diversity. Not too good when you got a guy playing games and a guy running around trying to serve not the people and not the environment, not to get the best practices and employ them. He's trying to feather his nest and his friend's nest and his business nest and his company friends and all of that privatization. And all those people that formerly worked for the state, they seem to still be huddling around in some capacity, draining off the blood of the people. The Hawaii Interagency Biosecurity Plan defines biosecurity as the set of measures taken to manage the risk from invasive species to the economy, environment, and health and lifestyle of people. End quote. To that end, the department says its plant quarantine branch reviews the effectiveness of its inspection program at the state's ports of entry by conducting periodic, quote, enhanced inspection, end quote, to assess the risk of all imported agricultural commodities. According to HDOA on the PBQ, on these assessments, PBQ inspectors focus their efforts on high-risk commodities, which enhances the effectiveness of their inspections and interception of invasive species. So all that is said, the auditor found, however, in our review of border inspection activities, we found that in practice, PQB, the plant quarantine branch, does not fulfill this approach. Contrary to HDOA claims that the branch does not assess the risk of invasive species or the effectiveness of its inspection program using up-to-date, while the branch conducts enhanced inspections, we found that these infrequent, inconsistent, More importantly, the data collected during these and other inspections are not used to reassess risk or reevaluate inspections efforts or refocus branch activities. This is what you get when you get a weevil in the wheat, folks. This is what you get when you got a fox in the hen house. This is what you get when you get David Ige, who retains Scott Enright to lead the Department of Agriculture, who bleeds instead of lead the agency, and he's out touting and fancy foot with trying to get a Hawaii Invasive Species Authority passed so that he could bleed it some more. Not lead it, but bleed it. Biosecurity? Yeah. I'm saying to you that maybe it's good the elections are coming. Maybe it's good you might want to ask Colleen Hanabusa or any other candidate, will you be retaining the services of Mr. Scott Enright? We got a dairy that he supports on Kauai that was found to be in violation in processing and building a dairy without the necessary permits, and he's all for that. Then we got a dairy on the Big Island where it stinks out to people and impacts the people and violates the law and the Clean Water Act, and he's all for that. And you just heard the auditor says it's about the environment and the people and the health of the people and the health of the people of the state and on and on and on. But where is he at in this? I've never witnessed in any of my travels in life and being familiar with agriculture department, state fishing games and other agencies responsible for either the environment or agriculture and pests and alien species and what have you. Never witnessed anybody so blatant as and arrogant and cocksure of himself as this guy Scott Enright. And he's not doing this alone. He's doing it because he has the blessings of the governor and the governor's friends and all those others that have hung around the public trough, tapping in and sucking the blood out of the people's interests. So, contrary to the claim, the branch does not assess the risk, period. Central to PQB's inability to implement a risk-based biosecurity program has been its failed database. So, what are we doing? We're paying people, an army of inspectors, to just go to the airport and stand around, and you're going to be floored when you hear how some of them were portrayed in this process. So the objective of the audit was to assess the branch's actions to minimize the risk of invasive species being shipped, transported, or otherwise imported into the state. And our audit was performed from June 2016 to February 2017. Here's a summary of the findings. PQB lacks data gathering and data analysis functions necessary to actively continuously assess risk from invasive species. In VICTA, the branch's central database does not perform its core function and is considered by PQB staff to be unreliable and cumbersome to use. $4.2 million. And Scott Enright is saying, well, it ain't going to work. It don't work. Even I'm the chief of the boat here. I'm the captain. It's sinking. But I want to go and take the money from here. And then I want to put it in to from the council, and I want to put it into the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority, and then I can really screw the public blind. So it is unbelievable. They say it's a risky business. This is one of the subtitles here. PQB lacks data gathering and data analysis function necessary. When it comes to biosecurity, all pests are not equal, we've said. Coupled with this, with the fact that agriculture inspectors can only inspect a fraction of the shipments. The report identified fundamental tasks that Invicta cannot perform, including searching for interception data or specific pest species. So you don't have any reference. But let's get down to the really comical, but well, the flagship of this biosecurity blockade or blitz or whatever you call it, you know, impervious wall that we find at the airport, you know, the one where you arrive and you sign your name and you declare what you got. So, however, if this is e-manifesting, however, if these promised benefits sound too good to be true, they might be. After nearly a decade of $4.2 million, PQB has been unable to develop an integrated database. The branch is in the early stages of developing a new database. See, it's always reinventing yourself and reinventing because you didn't do anything with the first measure that you had funded, $4.2 million. So that is, let's talk about the blitzes and the baggage claim, a high visibility yet low risk activity. This is how it's described. From September 2000 through July 2001, PQB conducted the Kahului Airport Risk Assessment, a federally financed an effort to evaluate the movement of alien species from mainland and foreign areas to Maui through Kahului Airport. The risk assessment involved 3 to 4 week inspection blitzes, which included intensive inspections of the checked-in and carry-on baggage by inspectors and detector dogs, inspections in aircraft cabins, the commodities they brought into the state were generally items that posed low risk for the importation of alien species. Fruit was the most common undeclared items typically brought in on board for consumption during the flight. Now, but if you look at it, you think, oh, this is a big thing. This is this impervious wall. It filters out. It captures. And it's a joke. And you'll see why. They say, let's follow this form. As they said, the Hawaii law requires that an individual arriving in the state of from mainland to complete a Department of Agriculture form, we all know about those, declaring agricultural items the traveler is bringing to Hawaii. Any person who defaces the plant and animal's declaration form, gives false information, or fails to declare restricted items may be guilty of a misdemeanor. Now, if you're bothering to tell us the law is this and you can't deface it, what do you mean maybe? But we'll leave that. That's welcome to the world of law in Hawaii. Any person who defaces the plants and animals declaration, gives false information, will be fined a maximum of $25,000 and or 1 year imprisonment. Intentionally smuggling a snake or other prohibited restricted items could result in a maximum penalty of $200,000 and or imprisonment of up to 5. But there is no punishment or penalty for hiring a snake. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just threw that in there. I apologize. However, in practice, the form seems to provide limited value, if any at all. How about that? You know that big, that, you know, we all think that that is it, baby. It's working. Here the auditor is saying, however, the practice, the form seems to provide limited value, if any at all, to the state's biosecurity activities. The forms, which generally are distributed and collected in flight by the flight crew, are delivered to the PQB inspectors upon arrival by airline personnel and quickly reviewed for declarations of plants or live animals. That sounds good. At the Daniel K. Inouye International Airport, we observed the inspection duties of one of the three inspectors assigned to the baggage claim terminal. During our visit, the inspector identified only one form which an incoming passenger had declared items in his or her possession. When there are declared items, the inspector said that she attempts to locate the passenger in the baggage claim area using the contact information on the form. However, we did not observe the inspector identify the passenger who had declared items in the baggage claim area or otherwise make contact with the passenger. She said that she averages about one interception per day from incoming passengers. With the state's visitor assistant desk vacant at the time, we observed two inspectors spending most of their time helping arriving passengers and find their way through the airport and providing directions to the nearest hotels. Well, I guess Scott Enright could justify that as that, well, you know, we've gotten reports that some of the hotels have bed bugs. They constitute an illegal alien species, so maybe that would be his purview or be the nexus for him to accept this. But basically, what the auditor found is that this screening process at the airport, when you fill out that form, it's useless. The persons can't find anyone. You going to the baggage claim area, why not say, rewrite the form? And I'm saying this because I know factually 25 years ago, I made these recommendations that how stupid and dumb is it to for you to people on an airplane, give them to an inspector, and that inspector got to rush down and sort through them, and then, voila, can't find the people. Because you're not on a bullhorn, you're not seeing over intercom or anything with the party. So I recommended a fixture to this was to simply say, when you're arriving in Honolulu and you have something that needs to be declared, you must deplane and stand there at the gate with your whatever it is you got, and we will meet you at the gate. Mark an area off. The inspector don't have to go out and chase down and hope and pray and whatever. It would be a simple solution. They don't do that because they're not interested. Scott Enright wants this thing to be so badly broken that by breaking it and making it worse, he can justify why the legislators should fund and approve his Hawaii Invasive Species Authority. Very slick. In practice, the form seemed to provide limited value, if any at all, to the state biosecurity. And so, you know, you need numbers, and why do you need numbers? If Scott Enright is saying, give me more money and give me more freedom and give me, I can be more effective, but he is not effective and he's not efficient and he's not really exhausting the resources and using them in a sensible fashion. So Invicta is still capable of generating inspection and interception reports like top 10 high-risk commodities that could be met to determine commodity risk levels. But the prior PQB manager did not develop clear criteria for defining what constitutes high, moderate, and low-risk commodities, and did not document how she applied that criteria to the enhanced inspection data to determine the risk level of each commodity before she was given a special assignment. Remember I was saying that they move people around and then turn around and tell the legislators, well, this position is vacant, we don't have it, and we're going to need money for a dog. And let me tell you something. It might look sexy and fancy with having a dog run around sniffing baggage, but unless you got an army of them, you're wasting your time, because first of all, the officer that handled them, it ain't an army of people that's handling the dog, number one. Then you got to house a dog, and you can't work the dog forever. And then you got to get the dog certified, and then you got to send him through this. So it's basically a waste. But leave it to Scott and his predecessors and everyone else. It's a great effort. It takes so much resources to have one dog. You ask anyone that's going to be honest with you, what does it take? You got to pay overtime to the officer because you don't have an army of people doing it. So it's one big lie, but it's this biosecurity fence, a wall that we have to protect Hawaii's environment. And this report, is, and we already know this, a great many of the species that are impacting or negatively impacting the native flora and fauna here came in through agricultural practices. So it's wrong. PQB has not conducted enhanced inspections on a regular basis since 2012. But yet, they promise you they have a biosecurity effort, plan. But they don't routinely do it or frequently do it. Anyway, according to the HDOA, it assesses the effectiveness of the inspections program by conducting, quote, periodic enhanced inspections at the state ports of entry. To validate this claim, we reviewed PQB's schedule of enhanced inspections from fiscal year 2011 to 2016 and found that the inspections at the state 10 airports and ports and harbors have been conducted on a regular basis. No inspections have been conducted on a regular basis since 2012. For example, the branch did not conduct any enhanced inspection in 2015 and could not confirm if it did in any 2011. It did not conduct enhanced inspection at 5 of the 10 ports in 2013 and at just 3 ports in 2014. And 2012 was the only year that the branch held enhanced inspections at all of its ports. Sounds like, if you're a religious person or whatever, it sounds like the work of the devil. And who's that devil? The chairman. Chairman of the board. The chairman that says, I need more money and I need more liberty. Give me liberty and give me money and I will screw you worse. I don't care about the endangered species. That's not my problem. My problem is making sure that the dairy farmers, the cattle farmers, the fruit farmers, and the vegetable farmers get their loot. That's what I'm here for. You see, I have a special interest. So that's why I want to further decapitate or render this inspection program that's man to the point where we're just barely making it when there's monies available to fund, but they don't do that. So recent enhanced inspections were held at Maui and Kona and in Lihue in July, August, and September 2016-2015. The last known enhanced inspection at the two largest ports in the state of Daniel K. Inouye Airport were scheduled or conducted in 2013. We note that according to the department, of approximately 80% of the imported cargo flows through Oahu Harbor and Airport. According to the inspector, who was in charge of the scheduling the enhanced inspections for about 4 years until last September, enhanced inspections are scheduled when staff are available. The frequency of lack of theory thereof of enhanced inspections during fiscal year 2009-2013 was impacted by the shortage of inspectors caused by the reduction in force in 2009. It's 2017. So we can't hold David E. Gay and Scott Enright responsible or accountable for 2009 workforce. But we can say, well, if you know that there is a deficit in the number of people in field positions, why are you trying to shave off and create an authority to take resources and monies from this plant quarantine inspection program? Why not ask the legislators to infuse you or give you more money so you can beef up the inspectors and hire better qualified people, or be more aggressive in hiring? Something's wrong with this place, folks. It's not me and it's not you. It's the people who swear on a stack of Bibles that they're going to take an oath to protect your interests. And so there is, it's a scary situation here. I mean, scary. They say that 15% of the food that we have here is actually due to local food. The rest is imported. Can you imagine? 528-4181 if you care to pitch in. Hawaii's growing reliance on imports highlights the importance of the plant quarantine branch. Estimates on how much food Hawaii imports vary, but the main point is undeniable. Hawaii does not come close to feeding itself with food produced in the islands. In 2007, the Rocky Mountains Institute estimated that just 15% of what Hawaii spends on food is produced locally, while Hawaii Economic Development Task Force report to the legislature in 2011 estimated 90% of beef, 67% of fresh vegetables, 65% of fruits, and more than 80% of milk are imported. with those imports come the risk of invasive species and fraudulent practices from agency heads. I'm telling you. So I would, you're probably asking, well, gee, why didn't he give Scott Enright some airtime on this? Well, let me just tell you up front. I have ridden Scott Enright, and I've exercised my right under the just basically a letter, cordial letter, inviting him and asking some questions. Never answered. I've ridden him back and asked him again and again, and I filed a formal UIPA request. Never got anything. So you know what we do for people like that? Maybe we assume they existed and they don't. So we don't like to invite ghosts to the show. You know, especially if you know there's this paper trail and the guy is out there and he's showing up in public and he's making these statements and you ask him, well, could you, would you like to say this to the a bigger crowd or mass of people rather than the one, 20 people that you have here in this meeting? You just claim that the Attorney General gave you a ruling on a matter that should you out speaking publicly and disclosing the content of that reference or referral that you opinion that you solicited from the Attorney General, but you're talking in depth about it, but then when asked, could I see a copy of it, you go mute. You don't respond. You ignore a repeated calls to ask for that. So don't be dismissive of me and my practices here that, you know, here talking about someone that isn't present and all. We make those efforts to talk to them and on air. We reach out. But we're not going to, I guess the problem is they don't see us as media, which is okay. I like that role because the facts out there, if we release the facts on any matter and on any subject, it will sting just as hard as if you had NBC on your ass or anybody else. So, you know, in a polite way, thank you very much. But that's why we're able to read these manuals and read these audits, and we look to see what it is that you are actively doing. And the interceptions, even though the HDOA says that it's been focusing more on high-risk categories, including imported plants, percentage of those high-risk interception has remained relatively same over a three-year period, while fruits and vegetables inspection, low-risk category, have remained steady as well. And Mr. Enright wrote a letter, response as always, as usual, to these people. I can't tell you any more than that, that the so-called security of our food source is not good. To create an invasive species task force or whatever you call it is not good. Getting rid of Scott Enright is a bright idea. And, I mean, there's a paper trail. And when you see that 15% of the food locally here, as that report says, so who's benefiting from this? You know, I think that the benefit, we should start now looking at going back and reassessing conflicts of interest or the appearance of conflict of interest and find out who amongst that crowd called the agricultural committee and find out who are these, the ADC, Agricultural Development Corp. Who are these people? Who are these people that have say in policy of the Department of Agriculture? Who are these people that have cause to go and shift the blame on something else and say, give us this money, take the money out of this pot, put it over here? We know who amongst them would allow this dysfunctionality to this degree of the plant quarantine branch? Special interests? Who are these people that hang around the office of the Agriculture Department? Special interests. Vegetable, people that import veggies, the carrots, the cucumbers, the onions, and all of that. All of these produce companies, what say do they have in this? Do they benefit from having less inspections? Do they benefit? And what is the benefit for them to have no inspectors to come in and inspect the veggies and what have you? There's a lot to be asked, and there's a lot of answers need to be given, because the biosecurity that they preach about is non-existent. So it's something that it's one big lie, and it's the unfortunate part of it is, you know, the Willy Willy's trees that were here, how many of them many of them died. Just boom, the wasp. We had now we have the ohia dying off, and many other species dying off. And I will tell you, I've spoken about this many times on the show, the Department of Agriculture and the Board of Agriculture, I would say, is responsible for a large percentage, or have contributed to the competitive introducing species, because they were political. They had no interest but money in mind. And so I say we should blame the agricultural practices, not just the farmers, but those people that are importing, because they wanted to make it easy. Now with Scott Enright in there, you don't hear much complaints. And then they want to put everything, the resources, in another place, the Hawaii Invasive Species Authority. So if you hear about this, just know that it's a part of a game. It's part of cornering the market to make it lesser of inspections and less accountability, leaving the agency in shambles and the inspection program in shambles only benefits Scott Enright and his friends or his special interests. So today was trying to peel back the onions, so to speak, to share with you what is really going on with this. They talked about the vacancies here. While food and farm product imports continue to rise, PQB staffing levels have remained relatively flat. In fact, staffing has recovered from a 2009 reduction in force that cut authorized positions by 31%, or 37 positions. Does that sound like, I mean, this was Linda Lingle, but there were, Neil Abercrombie came in after that, and then Ige is here. You would think they'd replenish. But does that suggest that they have any concerns for the native flora and fauna here? To me, it suggests that they're looking for the money. Money that they can find and give their friends. The authorized position lost in the reduction force were restored by 2013. However, the department has not filled these positions, with 2016 staffing 71 at the same level as 2012. Exhibit 9 shows PQB's position counts and vacancies. And there's a substantial number of vacancies. In addition, we found that the use of PQB temporary assignments, inspectors temporarily assigned to specialists and managerial posts, reduced the number of available for inspections and created a problem for long-term planning consistency issues and staff morale. One-third, 7 of 21, of the PQB vacant positions in June 2016 were filled with temporarily assigned personnel. These included 4 specialist positions and a maritime supervisor post were temporarily filled. All these positions, specialists and maritime, had been without a permanent hire for at least 16 months, and some for as long as 45 months. In addition, the department recently filled the vacant inspection and compliance section chief position. However, the new chief is also acting branch manager. And Scott Enright, instead of fixing it, he wants to divert the money and resources and give more power to external forces outside of the agency. So when we ask, we're asking, do you like David Eagle? Do you like Colleen Hanabusa? You know, voting for her is going to be difficult. But voting for him is going to be difficult too. So I don't know which way. And it's like, okay, well, half your problem is that you've already been suckered in. There's other candidates. Isn't that funny how we think? We just automatically, boom, and both have shown they're not productive people. Both have shown these things have occurred. David Ige wasn't just the governor. He also was a senator. Colleen Hanabusa is not just a candidate now for governor. She was a congresswoman, right, and a senator here in the state. And all of these things can add up and give you reason, a cause, a justification to vote no. But I crave the day when I'm living in a democracy where I will never hear again, well, the senator wanted her. He wanted her to be appointed. This is a democracy, unless I went to sleep and woke up with the North Koreans taking over, or Mr. Trump and his friends, that the Russians finally did the job, or the crooked Democrats just gave up for cheap. We deserve better, much better. And I know that many of you are probably going, you know, he's so foul-mouthed, and it's just abrasive. You damn right I am, because in a democracy, we should be free of that kind of behavior. One man, one woman, one vote. Not he think that I should get the position. Not that if you don't demonstrate and you promise to fix something, and if you show up at Hart and the Hart can't tell us where the money is and how the money was spent, and all of that, and then you're defending people in Hart and where there's conflicts of interest raised, and you serve as an attorney to defend them, and then you go behind, sequester yourself behind closed doors claiming it's attorney-client privileges, and then you're going to turn around and run for office and then win that and then come back and want to run again? How much money does it cost us to go through that hoop? It's not that do I like anyone. It's just we need to get our senses about ourselves, folks. Really. Not in a democracy. When I joined at 17, I believed this was a democracy. That's why I've joined, also to get out of Mississippi. But what the hell? It was both ways worked. But on the other hand, I believe that this is a democracy. I believe that good government, good people in government, with the nose to the grindstone, not flighty and fleeting, not being emotional and hopping from seat to seat, that diminishes the whole quality and the image of the stability in government. It suggests anything goes. And apparently anything goes. So I appeal to you to check yourselves and ask yourselves, how much are you willing to tolerate of this kind of behavior in a, quote, democracy? Where does it stop? I heard one senator say, oh, the rail is, well, we can't stop now because it's we've put so much in it. Really? But we've been complaining for a long time about this when there was nothing. So that's why I voted for it. I wouldn't want to waste. Isn't that a funny place to be? So, and I'm sure it's not unique here in Indiana, Illinois, and they all have the places and funny behavior in government and people, wherever you have human beings. But we're a little more Akamai or smart or something than to just keep going through this cycle. We need a new approach. We need to reinvent ourselves and speak up. I mean, I don't know where to start, but I'll be watching. So this is about the best I can do for you as far as I hope I didn't confuse you. The environment here is so fragile, and I mean it's fragile. There's no more fragile place. They're all fragile. I mean, even on the mainland, you can introduce species that will upset an ecosystem, and it could wipe out species. I mean, you take the Kaibab experience where they wiped out all of the predators, or a big portion of them, because they wanted to see the ungulates increase, the deer and the elk increase in numbers. Well, they did, but then they also ate themselves out of house and home. And so there's a balance, and that balance is struck when you have honest people in government. There's no perfect, you know, biology, you don't know exactly what to do. You don't know that, you don't think ahead of time that, well, gee, we bring in the toad, the cane toad, to eat the rats, and that's it. And now we got the cane toad and rats, the mongoose. You know, something, and some things do work. But it would work better if we had leadership that wasn't trying to bleed and steal the money and divert it and for special interests, and instead of taking resources that are scarce, be struggling to bring more resources to the table to enhance this program of detection and screening and monitoring and policing at the airports and at the ports. That's what we need to do. And I think at the current pace, we not only should have to worry about the alien species, we have to worry about the frailties in the human species. Ultimately, that's what it's all about anyway, because we're the ones who lie, steal, and cheat, and divert, and misuse, and misappropriate, and what have you, for special interests. Make the issues of a spider being taking a free ride on an airplane not insignificant. So anyway, I hope that when you see this pest, and you identify one, and it's when you pull that curtain and you think to yourself, this is a pest. He's not good for our system. Put an X in the box saying no. Go get a job. We want real leadership. So we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining. This is the Carol Cox Show. Aloha. Good, you make me.
I know it's all because of you that I have watched my life turn inside out. Yes, and I've watched as you become the key to what my life's about. 'Cause you made me feel love. You made me feel love like I never felt love before. Made me feel touched like I never felt touched before. You made me feel love and you made me believe love like I never thought I could believe. You made me feel love like I never felt love before. I say yes, yes I knew. The night I was introduced to you, yes. Do you remember that night as well as I do? I close my eyes and smile as I roll back to the time when I touched your head and floated off into space. Yes, and all those people down there looking up at us and say, hey, how did you get to feel that way? You made me feel love. You made me feel love like I never felt love before. Yeah. You made me feel touched like I never felt touched before. You made me feel love and you made me believe in love like I never thought I could believe. You made me feel love like I never felt love.
Show heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.